Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
First, we're going to read the passage. It's Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. All right, so this passage, Paul is correcting two common errors found in the Christian life. He's correcting complacency, so this idea that we've already arrived, that we've gotten there, there's nothing left to do. And he's correcting this idea of discouragement. I'll never get there. I'll never achieve that. I'll never arrive. And Paul is rejecting both in this passage. He says, I haven't arrived, but I am pressing on. I haven't yet arrived, but I am pressing on. He realizes that he's not yet there, but he doesn't become complacent. He doesn't become discouraged. He continues to press on. But if anyone had arrived, as we looked yesterday, it would have been Paul. If anyone had arrived yet, it was Paul. He'd followed Jesus for the last 30 years, and he was the greatest missionary in the history of Christianity. And yet he says, I have not yet arrived. So this passage is about Paul having this holy dissatisfaction. This holy dissatisfaction. He realizes that he has been walking with Christ for a long time, but yet he has not fully attained what he wants to attain. And that is causing a dissatisfaction in his life. And because of that, he is pursuing Christ. And he is pursuing Christ-likeness. So our big idea this morning is Christ makes us his own, therefore we never stop pursuing him. Christ makes us his own, therefore we never stop pursuing him. And this order is very, very important. Christ pursues us first, now we pursue him. Christ pursues us first, now we pursue him. And our pursuit of him is fueled by his grace. So Christ pursues us first, and now we pursue him. Point number one, the Christian life is a pursuit. The Christian life is a pursuit. Paul begins with this correction at the beginning of this passage. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. So this brings out this sense of resolve, because he goes on to say, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So when he says, not that I've already obtained it, he is referring back to verses 10 and 11 in the previous passage, when he said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And then he goes on, I do not consider that I have made it my own. And he's saying that there is no way that he's arrived. So this statement is grounded in the fact that he had not yet died and attained the perfection of the resurrection of the dead. Because one day he will be perfected, but now he doesn't fully know Christ yet. He's still becoming more like him. He's awaiting his final resurrection. So even Paul says, I'm not there yet. And he won't be until the day that he dies. The mature Christian still longs to grow. The more mature Paul becomes, the more aware he is that he has room to grow. Immature Christians often think they've arrived, but mature Christians know they haven't. The immature Christian thinks, I already know this. I grew up in church. I know the things of God. I know what it's like to be like Christ, but the mature Christian realizes that the older they get, the more they learn about themselves, the more they need to learn about God, the more they need to become like Him. As we grow, Christ's grace must motivate us to persevere. As we grow, Christ's grace must motivate us to persevere. So we press on because Christ Jesus has made us His own. He's made us His own. Paul doesn't run to earn Christ. He runs because Christ has already claimed his life. Christ has already moved in his life. And that changes everything. That changes everything. Obedience in the Christian life is not earning acceptance. It's responding to acceptance. We don't earn acceptance by Christ. Christ has already accepted us, and then we respond by learning more about Him, by becoming more like Him. So believers in this room, Christ has made you His own, and He will not let you go. He will not let go of you. Therefore, press on in pursuit of an ever-deepening love and knowledge of Him. He will never let you go. You do not have to fear separation from Christ. Pursue Him. Get to know Him. Read His Word. Fall more and more in love with Him. The author R. Kent Hughes writes this. He says, if you have been grasped by grace, God is speaking to you right now. Do you hear Him? Pursue, seize, take hold of Christ as He has taken hold of you. This is the only way to live. Pursue, seize, take hold of Christ. That's the language that Paul is using here. If you have put your faith in Christ, pursue Him. He has already made you His own. Pursue Him back. He has pursued you. Now you pursue Him. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. I've had multiple friends ask me to run a marathon. Do I have any marathon runners in here? I'm going to be honest. I will never run a marathon. I refuse. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. But my friends, they sign up for this marathon to run 26 miles. And then they run this race and they get this medal that they paid for. You paid for the medal. All you have to do, I don't even know if you have to finish. Maybe you do. I've never been there. But you get the medal. All you have to do is sign up. Guys, that's the Christian life. Jesus has already paid for you. You're already going to receive the medal. Now run the race. Train for it. Run as hard as you possibly can. You're going to receive the medal. He's already paid for it. But pursue Him. Run the race. So point number one was the Christian life as a pursuit. Point number two, the Christian life requires determination. The Christian life requires determination. Verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We forget what lies behind. Guys, we must forget the past. When I was in junior high, I believe I was in eighth grade. And like we talked about earlier, I wasn't the most fit eighth grader there ever was. But my coach, my baseball coach, Coach McKinney, he would tell us, like, hey, when you're running the bases, never look back. Never look back. Just look at me, listen to me, do what I say. So one time, I'm running from second to home. I round third base, and he tells me to keep going. He's like, you're scoring. And I thought there was no way. So I look back, and sure enough, the ball was coming in. The ball beat me to the catcher, and my coach yells at me. He's like, why did you look back? Why did you look back? That's going to slow you down. And to be honest, I would have been thrown out either way, and I was right. The ball was very, very, very early. It was going to beat me there. But my coach was right, too. Looking back slows you down. And that's the same for the Christian life. Looking back at our past successes or our past failures slows us down. That doesn't mean that we don't learn from them, but we don't dwell on them. We don't dwell on our past failures or even our successes. So there's this guy that we talked about the other day, Adoniram Judson, famous missionary to Burma, and he has just planted this church. I don't know if I ended up telling you guys this, but there was over 8,000 Burmese believers by the time he left Burma. Thriving church, Bible in their language. His mission had been completed. And at one point, he was home on furlough, which just means like a break from being overseas. And this church asks him to come in and speak. So this church in Boston asks Adoniram to come in to speak. Him and his wife are there. And as they're preparing to enter the main sanctuary, they have this exchange. So this is Adoniram and his third wife, Emily. "Emily, look at them. They have not come to hear of Christ. They have come to see a curiosity. Emily, they admire you, Adoniram. They have prayed for your safety and your work in Burma for over 30 years. Is it only natural they want to see the man behind the mission? Adoniram, but they do not want to hear of the cross. The pastors have whispered it in my ear all week. Tell us of the golden pagodas, Mr. Judson. Tell us of the emperor at Ava. Describe the strange customs of the Burmese people. Emily, it helps them visualize the field, my love. It connects their giving to a real place. Adoniram, the people are very much given to hearing about Burma. But I am not. I am sent to preach the glorious gospel of the blessed God. If they want information about Burma, they can buy a geography." I don't know what that means. Buy a geography. Maybe a geography book. "Emily, his wife, and you will give them nothing else? Adoniram, nothing but Christ and him crucified. My tongue was not preserved through the horrors of the Ava prison to entertain American congressions with great travel stories. If I have but a whisper of my voice left, it must be spent on the love of the Savior. Emily, then speak from your heart, husband. The crowd may be disappointed at first not to hear of tigers and emperors, but they need to be reminded of the true motive of missions. Go on, they are ready for you." Like Judson, Paul had every reason to look back. He had every reason to look back and tell stories from his time on the mission field. Time in prison. Time where God had used him in crazy ways to reach the Burmese people. No one would blame either of them for dwelling on the past, dwelling on the many achievements of their bold missionary lives. But Paul and Judson, man, these dudes are just built different. They care about one thing and one thing only. Neither of them looked back at themselves. They looked forward to Christ. All they wanted to do was to preach Christ and him crucified. They did not look back. Paul is not advocating for memory loss. He's refusing to let the past control the future. So like we said, that can be past successes, it can be past failures, it can be past sins that have already been forgiven, it can be past victories. Even Paul's incredible ministry could have become a distraction if he lived there. Any one of us are susceptible to this. We are susceptible to looking back at our past successes and dwelling on them, or to look back at our past failures and saying, I can't do this. We are all susceptible to this. So he is stressing, pressing on, straining forward. Like someone who runs a race that does not look back. They press forward. They dive as they get to the finish line. He's conveying a sense of intensity. We press on. The Christian life is pressing on to finish the race. He says, reach out toward what is ahead. The image of a runner leaning toward the finish line, like we just said. Every ounce of energy going into one direction to finish the race. The Christian life is not drifting. It's not jogging. It's deliberate. The Christian life has a goal, and that goal is to be more and more like Jesus and to proclaim his name until we die. And we press on because the Christian life is a process. And this process is known as sanctification. So go ahead and throw that little, I know it's a big word, but we're going to talk about this. So the moment you are saved, that is the moment that you are justified, that you have been saved from the penalty of sin. So that's what happens the moment you're saved. You're saved from what you deserve because of your sin. This idea of sanctification is being saved from the power of sin in your life. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about us becoming more and more like Jesus. Sin having less and less of a grip on our lives. Becoming more and more and more like him. And the reason he's saying that I have not attained what I long to attain, the resurrection from the dead, is because that's the last thing that happens. That's glorification. That's the day that we die and we stand before Christ. And we will be saved from the presence of sin. So this is what Paul's talking about. First of all, he's not talking about being saved. He's not running this race to be saved. That has already happened. His sin has already been paid for on the cross by Jesus. He's talking about this race. He's talking about becoming more and more like Jesus. So some people say, in case those words are too big, that we were saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. We were saved from the penalty of our sin. We're being saved. We're being made more like Christ. And we will be saved. We will attain the resurrection of the dead. We will stand before Christ and get to be with him for all of eternity. And in that moment, we will be glorified. And that's the prize that we're pursuing. It's not merely heaven. It is complete conformity to Christ. God's call finds its fulfillment when we are finally with him. We will not attain this prize here on earth. We will not become completely like Christ. We will not attain the resurrection of the dead. That will happen on the day that we die. And for Paul, the greatest reward was to know Christ fully and to experience perfect fellowship with him. That's his goal. So point number two. Can you go back to point number two? Sorry. Point number two was the Christian life requires determination. We must be determined to reach that moment, to run this race and strive and strain and press on towards the goal. And point number three, the mature Christian thinks this way. The mature Christian thinks like Paul. So Paul ends this passage by saying, let those of us who are mature think this way. Real maturity recognizes that there is still room to grow. Yes, we want to grow in our prayer time or our Bible reading or our other spiritual disciplines, but that is not the goal. We are looking for life transformation. We want to grow in a manner worthy of the gospel. We want to stand firm and defend the gospel. We want unity with other believers. We want lives that look to the interests of others and not our own. The mature Christians understand that this is a process, but also understands that one day they will attain the prize. Christian, one day you will attain the prize. Right now, press on. Press on towards that goal. And then Paul adds a gracious encouragement for believers who don't yet think this way. He said, if believers don't fully understand, God will continue to teach them. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And that's the gospel. We have attained the gospel. We have attained salvation. Hold true to that. You will not be separated from Christ. You will not. You have attained that. Now press on towards the goal of becoming more and more like him. Let God transform your life. Let him Let him help you live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Keep walking in obedience. Mature Christians don't allow themselves even a satisfied glance back at their accomplishments. Instead, they give their energy to the pursuit of knowing Christ fully. They run the race rather than imagining it's over. So we're running this race. We are pressing on towards the goal of the resurrection of the dead. And Paul's pursuit of Christ is only possible, like we said earlier, because Christ pursued Paul first. This happens in the book of Acts. Paul is persecuting the church. His name was Saul at the time. And Christ comes to him and says, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Christ pursues Paul. If Christ hadn't pursued Paul first, he would continue killing Christians for the rest of his life. He would continue persecuting Christianity. But Christ pursued Paul. Paul was saved, and then Paul ran the race. He ran the race in a manner worthy of the gospel. The gospel always begins with God's initiative, God moving in our lives, and our pursuit is a response of him moving in our lives. So this race that we run is in response to him starting the race in our lives, to him pursuing us. Ultimately, Jesus himself perfectly finished the race the Father gave him, and now he empowers his people to keep running until the day we see him face to face. So here's your questions as we go this morning. The first, are you still growing? Are you still growing, or have you become complacent? Did you grow up in the church? Do you think that you kind of already know everything? You've heard the gospel a million times. It's kind of gotten old. Or do you treasure the gospel every day? Are you still growing? Are you living your life in a manner worthy of the gospel more and more every single day? If anyone could have stopped growing in their Christian walk, it was Paul. But he said, "No, I press on. I still long to know Christ more. I still long to become more and more like him." So are you still growing, or have you become complacent? Question number two. What past failure is preventing you from pressing on? What past failure is preventing you from pressing on? When you look back in your life, what are you looking back at? Is there something that is keeping you from running the race that you just continue to dwell on? Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's a success. Maybe you look back and you're like, "Man, I'm really good. I shared the gospel with that guy, and he accepted Christ. Man, I'm a good Christian." And looking back at those things, they can slow us down when we dwell on them. So what is preventing you from pressing on? Question number three, are you complacent or discouraged? Are you complacent or discouraged? Have you gotten to the point where you feel like you've arrived? You've been doing this for a long time. You've been a believer for 7 years. You feel like you've gotten there. You've read through the Bible in a year. You know all there is to know. Have you become complacent? Or have you become discouraged? "Man, Seth, I've started my Bible reading plan 4 of the last 5 years. I've gotten to Genesis. That's the first book. That's not great." So have you become discouraged by your walk in the past? Either way, whether you feel like you've arrived or whether you've become discouraged, don't look back. Do not look back. Press on. Press on. And then last question. Are you ready to run? When you go home on Saturday, 2 days away, are you ready to run the race? Are you ready to pursue Christ? Are you ready for him to make you more like him in your day-to-day life? Are you ready to try to live a life that is worthy of the gospel? To put others first? To share the gospel? Listen closely. Not to save you. You already have been saved. But so that you become more like Christ, and so that the people in your lives would hear about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that every single believer in this room, we would keep our eyes forward and we would just continue to run the race that you have laid out before us. God, we thank you that you pursued us first. Lord, I pray that we would pursue you every single day, that we would pursue you by becoming more and more like you, that we would put others first, that we would stand firm in the gospel, and that we would tell people about you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.